Vov Shabbat, Monday the 22nd of January, Rabbi Doniel Kaufman hosts.
Okay, Rabbi, good morning. It's a Monday morning, Parshat Shalach. I'm addressing you in front of my presence of my father, may he be well. Being Monday, I'm not fully into the parsha of B'Shalach yet, so I'm going to say something to you from Boi and let it lead across into B'Shalach and the Shiro. Now, in Parshas Boi, the subject of Makas B'Choros is mentioned twice. It is mentioned in Parshas Revi, where there is the warning of the Makah. And the Pasuk says there, Umeis Kol B'Choros. Now, this is one of these numerous psukim where the Torah is mekatze, it's a shortened version, meaning the tense of the verb is missing from the pasuk. Umeis means be dead, will be. It's a future. It's obvious that it's a future tense, and that's why it's not necessarily written there. Kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim, mi b'chor paroi hayeshev akisoi, ad b'chor hashifcho. They will die, every b'chor in Mitzrayim, mi b'chor paroi, who was sitting on his throne, ad b'chor hashifcho. Now, Rashi here says, what's meant by the b'chor hashifcho? Chashuvim b'chor hashifcho. The shifcho was the lowest ranking, the bottom of the range that the Makas B'chor has covered. V'lomo hoy loku, why were they smitten? Bnei Ashvoches, Shaf Heim Hoyum Shabodim Bohem. Because they too, the Shvoches, the maidservants, also took advantage and abused Bnei Yisroel. Usmeichem, they rejoiced in their troubles. Now, it appears again in Shishi, where it says, Vahi Bachatzi HaLaila. This is now the past tense, the event which has just happened. Vahashem Hiko. And now come the same words again. The same words, and to be quite precise, the same naginas as well. So that the nuances of the pasuk are exactly the same. But it ends differently. It says, ad b'chor ha-shvi, including the shvi, the captive, asher beveis ha-boir. Now, because the pasuk is at variance in its at the end of the pasuk, the beginning of each pasuk is the same, but the end bit is different. So Rashi, in each place, case explains what is appropriate to the place. So what does Rashi say, Al-Bukhair HaShvi? Shehem ho yusmeichem le'idom shel Yisroel. They too rejoiced in the downfall of Bnei Yisroel. Now, Rashi quotes this in both places, but it's actually a source of it is a medrash, which is written here in Shishi, not in Revi, not in the warning, but comes from here. Rashi's borrowed it across over there. V'oid, there's another reason as well why they were punished. Apart from what they deserved, there's another reason that they didn't deserve, but it had to be so, which is, Shoyomru Yerosenu Heviyo Poronuzu. And this is quoted, Rashi quoting from Mechilta, on the spot. That means to say, the Shavi was not an Egyptian at all. He took no part in abusing Bnei Yisrael. And he too had a score to settle with the Egyptians, because he was being abused by the Egyptians. He didn't want to be there, he was a captive, he was forced to be there. He had a score to settle with the Egyptians as well. So if he would survive, he would say, Yerosenu, our deity, Unzelegeshke, has brought this punishment on Bnei Yisrael, and that would be a Chilul Hashem. That couldn't be allowed, and therefore they too perished in the Makas B'Choros. So Rashi, in his two places, explains the relevant word b'chor hashifcho or b'chor hashvi as is appropriate. The question is this, that the beginning of each pasuk is the same. The words are precisely the same. Kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim, mi b'chor paroi hayoshev akisoi. And that's exactly the same in both places, exactly the same. So why does Rashi, in each place, give a different explanation? Now what does Rashi say in Revi, in the warning? On Bechor Paroi, says Rashi, the words, Kol hapchusim mi Bechor Paroi, all those below Paroi perished. That's what Rashi says. What does Rashi say in Shavi? Something else. Says Rashi over there, Mi bechor paroi, af paru bechor hoyo. Paro was a bechor. He himself, in his own right, was a bechor. So why did he not perish? Nishtai min a bechor. He survived, solely, alone. V'olav v'oimer b'avozeh, b'avozeh hem maticho. Because as the Pasuk says in Parshas Ve'eloh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the punishment to make a display of the powers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the glory of Hashem. So he, who spearheaded the antagonism to Bnei Yisrael, he was forced to survive so that he should be a witness to the powers of Hashem. So says Rashi. But why does Rashi vary this? Why does Rashi say one thing in one place, one another place, when the words are identical? And the answer is that even if the words and the neginas are identical, the pasuk is still not identical, and in one very refined way, there's a difference between the psukim. Let us ponder, what does the words b'chor paroi mean? Let's translate those words. Ordinarily, b'chor paroi means the son of paroi, who was a b'chor, not paroi himself, of his various sons. His son, the one who was a b'chor, that's who it refers to. That's the ordinary meaning of the word b'chor paroi. But the Bechor Paroi has another meaning as well. Bechor Paroi can mean Paroi who is a Bechor. That's not the usual meaning of the posix, of the words, certainly not. But where circumstances dictate, that's what it means. What dictates the meaning? So let's look again at Shishi. The posix ends, Ad Bechor Hashvi Asher Beveis HaBoer, including the Bechor Hashvi who was locked up in the prison. Now, translate the words b'chor hashvi. It does not mean, for certainly, the son of the shvi, who was a b'chor. I dare say if the shvi, this Libyan or this Moroccan or whoever he may be, who came, was in Egypt as a captive, had a son, indeed he would have died, may well be, probably was, if he had one there. But never mind that. The meaning of the words b'chor hashvi means a shvi, a captive, who was a b'chor. There were various captives, not all b'chor. Those who were b'chor, they died. That's the meaning of the words, for sure, in this context. In that case, this is the precision of Chazal. Where the Pasuk ends with the word Bechor Hashvi, which means a Bechor who is a Shvi, in that case, the equivalent, at the beginning of the Pasuk, where it says Bechor Paroi, means Paroi who is a Bechor, not the son of Paroi who is a Bechor. Where the Pasuk ends that way, the Pasuk begins that way as well. It's got to match. Therefore, in Shishi, when Rashi comes to the words Bechor Paroi, Rashi quotes a Mechilta. It's not even Rashi, it's a Mechilta who's doing this. And says, Af Paroi Bechor Hoyu. That's the meaning of the words Bechor Paroi. It's not the usual meaning, certainly not. In this case, it means that because the end of the passage means that. It matches. More than that, the ideas behind it also match. What does Bechor Hashvi tell us? The Shvi died. Why did he die? He didn't do anything wrong. Because it would be a chilul Hashem if he didn't. They would say, Yeroseinu, our Getchka did this. That's why he died. To promote the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at least not to abuse it, not to downplay it. The equivalent of that is, Bechor Paroi, Paroi Bechor Hoyo. Because Paroi had to survive to enhance, to glorify the name of Hashem. Let him see what happens. And by the way, the Malbim adds something to that. And he says,
The Talmud doesn't fit that.
Pardon?
The Talmud doesn't fit that.
Targum, why not? Pardon? Osid.
Yeah.
In which case? Is Shri or Levi or Shishi? In which one? Oh, yeah, in both cases. Okay, so Mechilta's not learning about that. Mechilta's not. The Talmud is always the same as all the Madroshim. Mechilta learns differently. It's foolish. Targum and Rashi are not the same. Okay, fair enough. So here. Yes, and the Malbim adds that why does it say Bechor Hashvi Hayoyishev Al Kisoi, who was due to sit on his throne? Maybe not. Maybe Paroi would choose a different son, or maybe the wider public would choose someone else to be the king. But says Malbim, no, Hayoyishev Al Kisoi means who was due to sit on the throne, because only a Bechor could sit on the throne. That's the rules of Mitzrayim. And therefore, the humility that Paroi was to suffer was he would survive and know that his kingdom will be taken away from him because he doesn't have a Bechor anymore. The Bechor died. Now, if you go back to Levi, the same thing is true again, but for one thing. There's no Mechilta there. Now it's Rashi who's speaking. Rashi saw the Mechilta, as in Shishi,
picked up the idea behind it, the way he explained the pasuk with the resha matching the sefer of the pasuk, and Rashi did the same thing in Revi, and it's Rashi this time. So in Revi it says, how does the pasuk end? Ad b'chol ha-shivcha. Translate b'chol ha-shivcha, the son of the shivcha. Can't be the shivcha. It's a female. It's not a b'chol. The b'chol ha-shivcha means the son of the shivcha. In that case, b'chol paray must mean the son of paray who is a b'chol. That's what Rashi says. Therefore, the context, the subject matter is also again similar. So the b'chol paray and b'chol shivcha are discussing the same topic, namely the range that the makot covered. That's a piece on its own.
Do not Chazal say that the nekevos, the b'chayos, also died too?
There's a big dispute about this and whether b'chayos have to fast and so on. But Rashi doesn't say so, and the makot doesn't say so. Maybe there are other aspects that some said. They didn't. The makot is in even the poskim whether b'chayos are higher than tanis. Okay. Now, the subject of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Makos Bechoros in Parshas Bo comes to an end, what we call the end of the famous Perek Yud Beis, with a posuk. Vayhi, ve'etzem hayom hazeh, hoitzia Hashem es bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, al tziv oisom. This posuk, the Mefarshim question as to what it means, what is it saying at all, what's written here? That Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, well, that's the whole sedra was about that. Why do I have a special posuk for this? And there's another very obvious question one must ask on this posuk. There's the fact that it is a single paragraph. This posuk is a paragraph on its own. There's a break for a paragraph before it and after it. And that's very rare. I have a paragraph singly for one posuk. Why is that so? Let's see what the Mefarshim say on this. So the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam, they say this pasuk belongs to the next paragraph. And this very day that they came out of Mitzrayim, we start the next chapter. This was the first time Bnei Yisrael were given permanent mitzvahs. That they were told in Mitzrayim were ready to have milah and to prepare a Korban Pesach. That was unique to Mitzrayim. But long-term permanent mitzvahs, they've never had yet. This was it. So the Torah is telling you, on the very day they left Mitzrayim, immediately they were given some mitzvahs. Kaddish Likol B'chor, mitzvah of Tfilin, the mitzvah of Pidyon. They were given this mitzvah straight away. Because that was the very reason why they came out of Mitzrayim, to become under command and to obey the mitzvahs. Now, according to that, there's no problem at all why there's a paragraph before this posuk. Because it's another subject. This is the beginning of the next topic. But you have to question, why is there a paragraph after this, before the next paragraph starts? And that is a very simple answer to that question as well. Because it says, V'adab HaShem V'Shaleimor, Kadashli Chol B'Choyer. Any time that it says, V'adab HaShem V'Shaleimor, there must be a new paragraph. Because even if the Torah is Kuloi Kodosh and Kuloi Mir HaShemayim, but the speech of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is still identified as a paragraph on its own. And you see that clearly because when Kaddish Lee comes to an end, the next part is those are the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. That again is a new paragraph. Even the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, which were really reflecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, spoke on behalf of Hashem, that cannot be in the same paragraph as the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. So therefore, that resolves the issue. But the Ramban says no. He learns, Vahi Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, this belongs to the end of the previous chapter, to tell you that even if the Makos Bechoros happened at night, and was at night that Paro panicked, said, get out of here. They didn't leave. Be'etzer Yom Hazeh, at daytime, that's when they left. And therefore it follows on from before. Well, according to the Ramban's explanation, there's no problem why you've got a new paragraph afterwards. That's a new subject, not connected. But why is there a new paragraph before it? That remains difficult according to Ramban. Now, by the way, our meaning is that we stop at the Aliyah at after this posuk, before Vadab Hashem Meshalem Mekadashli, that's when we create the Aliyah of Shvi. So we are certainly fitting in very, very neatly with the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam. With Ramban's explanation, certainly. Because this according to Ramban, that is where the subject stops. This posuk belongs to the previous subject. That's our meaning certainly dictates that way. But why is there a paragraph beforehand? Now here there's something interesting. The Or HaChaim comes to the rescue. I don't know if everybody notices this, but I certainly have noticed it. The Or HaChaim, even though it's hundreds of years after the Ramban, had some connection in their neshamas, quite obviously so. Because it's clear, look through the Chumash, wherever the Ramban is lengthy, the Or HaChaim is short, and vice versa. When Or HaChaim is lengthy, there's little Ramban. And never will you find, never, I think never, you'll find Or HaChaim disagrees with Ramban. No place at all. He comments something in a different manner, which complements the Ramban, but never disagrees with Ramban. And I hear that the Or HaChaim comes to the rescue and explains my question on the Ramban. He says that the Yetzias Mitzrayim is connected because only for that reason that were we taken out of Mitzrayim. There wouldn't have been a chance of the merit to come out of Mitzrayim if there had been a preparation and a commitment to performing mitzvahs. So according to the Ramban, according to the Or HaChaim now, even according to the Ramban, that the two are not, the two are, well, they're connected. I mean, one follows from the other, and at least we know why there may be a new paragraph there. But the Or HaChaim does not disagree. Now, I want to come to the point here. What does Tziv Oysom mean? What does Al Tziv Oysom? They came out of Mitzrayim. Al Tziv Oysom. On the host, by the host. What does this mean? It seems that the word Tziv Oysom or Tziv Ois has got a range of different meanings. In this context, right here, it means information, not information, information. That Tziv Ois relates to a host, we can English hosts, groups of people who are united in their resolve and working together. So here, Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, Al Tziv Oysom, united in their resolve to be faithful to Hashem. That's a simple meaning, that's what the Hamad Gova says, that must be the ordinary meaning. And the question is, why is this passage written here? When it's written previously, it says already earlier on that they came out of Mitzrayim, Tzivois Hashem, Hoitzi Hashem, Tzivois Bnei Yisrael. So the Mepharshim say, that tells you that Tzivois is a reference to the people. Overall, they were a host of people. But that this passage is telling you more than that, that they came out in some formation, lined up as armies would be in formation as in service of a Kodesh Baruch and prepared to be in service of Hashem. Now, let's ponder further what is this word Tzivois. There's another usage of the word we have every day in davening, Utzvo HaShemayim L'chol Mishtachavim, reference to all the luminaries and all the planets of the creation. And they're called the service of Hashem, the Tzvo Hashem, because they work also in formation, which I could have built with set, and that they operate in that way. There is a Gemara. My notes. Also, my notes in my twin bag over there. There's a Gemara in Brochus, which says, Omar Rav Hamnuna, Daf Lamed Aleph, Hilchas Gevar Vosa, Ikla Mashma, Mahani Kro, the Chano. The Tefillah of Chano, which is the Avtoira on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, teaches us many halochas in Hilchas Tefillah. Such as, Mikan Nispalil Zerch Shiachavan, the person has to concentrate when he's davening. A person, Mikan Nispalil Shiachtoich Misvosa, he has to pronounce the word, he can't read the word, it's not enough. She also, like Bia Koli, he mustn't daven too loud to disturb other people. Mikal, she shikur also vispal, if he's not in a fit state, he's not allowed to daven. These are all things we learn from Chana, from Psukim in Chana, and they're all ruled as accordingly in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara goes on to say that Chana said, Vatitur neder, Vatoimar, Hashem tzevois, Imra oisere ba'oni amosef, if only you would see the poverty of your servant. Uzachartani, remember me. Uzachartishkach, do not forget your servant. Unasata lamoscho zera, please give me a child. Those are the words of Chana. The Gemara continues, Omer Rebbe Lozo, miyosh avon HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'oyt zayilomo. Since creation, never ever yet, hoy odom shekor HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'tvois. Nobody has referred and by name to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Tzavois until Hannah came and did so. And the Gemara itself explains what does it mean, Tzavois. It says that Hannah argued as follows. Omra Hannah lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Mikol Tzavoi, Tzavoi Shebarasa. You created so many hosts, so many luminaries and planets. Ribono Mecha. You can't give me a son. It's beyond you to do a thing like that. It's a lever. It's a pressure point. That's what Hannah did. Now, if all the other things that Hannah did and spoke in that tefillah are ruled in Shulchan Aruch, is this ruled in Shulchan Aruch? Is our tefillah contained or based on Tzavois? It's not in Shulchan Aruch. But I'd like to show you that it is in our tefillah. It's very much in our tefillah. Our tefillah is based on it and surrounded by it. Based and surrounded. What do I mean by that? Another Gemara in Brochus, which says, the Mishnah says you must daven 18 Brochus, what we call Shmoyne Esrei. So the Gemara asks the question, Hana Shmoyne Esrei? What is it, 18? So no, Hana Shmoyne Esrei connected me, parallel to what? Why do we have 18 specifically? So there's a range of different reasons. Connected Shmoyne Esrei Azkorois. Because there are 18 times Yud Hei Vav Hei, which are mentioned in Tehillim Chof Tes, Hovel Hashem B'nei Elim. That piece which we say before, L'chadoidi on Shabbos, that contains 18 times Yud Hei Vav Hei, and it's parallel to that, what that may mean. Keneged Shmoyne Esrei Chulius, there are 18 rings in the spine of a person. There are 18 times Yud Hei Vav Hei in Kriyat Shema. There are 18 times, it says in the Pasuk, the Torah, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, this is written 18 times. The 18 times it says, Vaitzav Hashem, in Parshat Mekudei. And then the Gemara asks the question, 18? Tamnis Arayim? Tishtivin Havya? No, there's 19, isn't there? Our tefillah comprises of 19. Says the Gemara an answer, Omer Rav Levi, Berichas HaTzadukim B'Yavna Tiknuho. That one, the last one, the 19th one, V'lam HaShinim, that is, was instituted later on in Yavne, and it's not to do with Yud Hei Vav Hei, it's to do with Keneged El HaKovet Hidim, which is also in Tehillim Chof Tes, where there are 18 Yud Hei Vav Heis, and there's also Aleph Lamed. What does it mean? Problem here. The fact is, Lam HaShinim is a brocha. How's it? That's how Yud Hei Vav Hei, the formation is set up. It's the same as all the other brochas. What does Avlevi mean? And somebody told me once, that this is based on gematria. Yud Hei Vav Hei, which is 26, multiplied by 18 is 468. Add the new brocha, which is connected El HaKovet Hirim, Aleph Lamed, is 31. 468 plus 31 is 499. And that is Tzavois. That's a gematria of Tzavois. So our tefillah is made and based on Tzavois. Furthermore, it's surrounded by Tzavois as well. Where? Because before we begin the tefillah in the morning, the last words we say before tefillah are, Goyaleinu Hashem Tzavois Shemoy Kadosh Yisrael. I don't know what those words mean, I can't translate them for you, because I don't know where to put the commas in. Goyaleinu Hashem Tzavois Shemoy, maybe. Kadosh Yisrael refers to Hashem, I'm not sure what it means. Look them up in the Sidurim, I couldn't find any Mefarshim to explain those words. Surprisingly enough. But we have the word Tzavois before you start Tefillah. Minchen Marev, there's no such brocha. We have a Kaddish before Tefillah. Kaddish ends off, Hishbach HaSo V'Nechem HaSo. Amen on Be'om Movim Ru Amen. Nechem HaSo Zegmatri 499, that's Tzavois. So before every Tefillah you got Tzavois. We have Tzavois at the end of every Tefillah as well. Because when we end up davening, the last words of davening are, "V'toyv be'necha l'vorei as amcha Yisrael b'cholis v'chol sh'or b'shloim mecha." Now I'm fully aware that Nusach Svad has three more words, "Broiv oiz v'sholoyim," but you'll find most Nusach Svad do it in brackets, and many don't say it because we want these words to be the last words of the tefillah. That must be the reason for it. And these 11 words, v'toiv be'necha, if you take the Rosh HaTevis of them, that means you say vov v'toiv, be'necha, beis, levorech, lamed, es, aleph, amcha, ayin, yisrael, yud, b'chol, beis, eis, ayin, uvachol, vov again, shor, shi'en, bishlamecha, beis. You add up those Rosh HaTevis, you get to 499, the tzavois. Well and fine. So we're surrounded by tzavois, our tefillah. Until one day I said this to one of our cousins, one of the, what we call, Bnei Yisrael, Eidot HaMizrach, and he said to me, what are you talking about? We don't say that. We, that's not how we daven. Our daven, so, well, come on, show me, take out the siddur, show me how you say it. So he shows me that in their siddur it says, V'toiv b'enecho levorecheinu ulevorechas kalamcho Yisrael. I have an extra word, levorecheinu. In which case, what I'm saying doesn't work at all. Obgefreit. No, not so. Look at it carefully. It took me a while. I realized it does work. It works with the gematria, but by different formation. It works by taking the extra word, levorecheinu. They have an extra word, levorecheinu, and an extra letter, u, levorech. We say levorech, they say levorecheinu, u, levorech. Take the extras which they've put in. V'toiv beinecho levorcheinu u. Stop there. That makes it 499. Which means in their nusach as well, they this is true. Now I've got 2 minutes left, Odi, so let me just tell you that this is true in Parshat Shalach as well. The meaning is, before reading the Shira, you raise your voice when it comes to the words. But where do you raise your voice? This comes twice. First time. Shimon says first time. Your father told me so as well. And not only that, it happened once in the monks that somebody did it the second time. And he objected. He objected. And he said, we've got to put it into the book of Minhagim, that it's got to be the first time. And the Gabbai said, no, it's all right. Everybody knows. You made a mistake. Oh, leave that alone. Next time, somebody did it as well like that, second time. And they objected. He said, no, it's a minig, this should we do this way. And I'm going to tell the government to put it into the book that it has to be the second time. But which one is right? The first one is right. And I'll prove it to you. In the Beis Yosef, in Shulchan Aruch, he says, in the end of Pesukah de Zimro, he says, we say the Shiro at the end of Pesukah de Zimro. For what reason? Because we are preparing for the Amidah. And there are 18 times, it says Yud Hei Vov Hei in the Shira. And the 18th is four letters times 18 is 72, connected to Shem, Ayin, Beis. And also, the very fact we've got 18 times Yud Hei Vov Hei, which, as we know, together with the Mich Mecho Be'eli Mashem, or Ze'eli, would make up 490, that's the voice. And that's what he says, we need to have the voice, as a Beis Yosef. But if you look in the Shir, it's not so. You won't find the 18. Not for yourself, Moz Yoshir. However, if you go back from the end, Hashem Yimlech Leilom Vo'ed, that's the last one. You count 18 backwards, it will take you until and it will take you back until Vayedifu Mitzvahi Bashmeres Aboiker. There you'll find the 18 times Yud Hei Vav Hei. In which case, prior to that, the Zemimino Mismoilam is really the beginning of the Shira, Alpi Kabbalah of 18 times Yud Hei Vav Hei. And that's where is the right place to start the Shira, and that's where you raise your voice by Mino Mismoilam.